Our text from Hebrews 3, the first paragraph, as was printed for you, is actually a quoting of the lesser-known portion of Psalm 95. If you've ever done the order of matins or morning prayer in our hymnal, you know the first part of Psalm 95 pretty well. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And the psalm goes on. It's an uplifting psalm of praise to God as our Maker and our Savior. But the last portion, as printed here, as quoted in Hebrews 3, is the warning and encouragement to truly let that faith and praise of God continue to live in our hearts. For even the generation that God brought out of Egypt, let that faith and praise die out through grumbling and unbelief. Can you imagine it? The very people who saw God's mighty hand at the Red Sea, the very people who saw and heard the thunder and lightning on Mount Sinai, the very people who received manna every morning and saw other mighty works of God during their time in the wilderness, that generation put God to the test, hardened their hearts, went astray in their hearts, failed to believe that God could truly provide, that he could and would deliver on his promises. They grumbled against him. They doubted he could give them enough food and water for the journey. They wanted to go back to Egypt where they deluded themselves. They had things better. And when they got close to the promised land and the spies went in and they came back with their report, they were afraid. They didn't believe that they could, with God's help, overcome those who already lived there. So they doubted God could give them what he had promised. And they despised the land. And they despised even God in their hearts. And so the warning from Hebrews comes to you and me today. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. Take care that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And help us think about this. I want you to think about Play-Doh. That's right, Play-Doh. You get a new little bin of Play-Doh, and it's nice and soft and malleable. You can stretch it, you can form it, you can shape it into whatever you want, right? Or you can press and imprint shapes and designs into it. What happens if it gets left out too long? Or just starts to get a little old? I see some heads nodding. Yep, parents and kids, you know what I'm talking about. It gets hard and dry and flaky. But if you catch it early enough, at least I've heard, you can use a little water. They suggest just a drop or two at a time. And working it into the Play-Doh bit by bit, you can restore its softness again. You can probably do that time and time again if you really want that bit of Play-Doh to stay around. But there probably gets a point, if you've neglected one in the corner, that gets too hard, hardened beyond repair. You must just have to get rid of it. Maybe you've tried everything and anything you can think of to get it soft again, but that then is just far too gone. And so I invite you to consider our spiritual hearts in Christ in a similar way. In Christ, our hearts are softened to God's word and his will by faith. And he is forming us and shaping us and imprinting into us the image of Christ, and who he has made you and redeemed you to be. But sin comes into our lives. It makes our spiritual hearts a little dry, a little hard, a little flaky. In one sense, we know that's going to happen to the Play-Doh. We know that's the danger of having Play-Doh around. And we know sin happens even in the lives of believers. I know it happens, you know it happens, God knows it's going to happen. It's why he sent Jesus to die for all of your sins. It's why even in the Old Testament he gave the sacrificial system to point the people to the once-for-all sacrifice that was coming and deliver it to them ahead of time. It's why even now God gives you pastors in your midst for the express purpose of forgiving the sins of those who repent, to those who repent time and time time again. God knows we sin daily, and daily need his forgiveness. Sin is serious, but God knows it happens, and he loves to give his grace and forgiveness into our lives each and every day, making us die and rise again each morning through the power of our baptism, and our hearts made soft to his word and his work in our lives once more. And so the warning here in Hebrews is the warning about sin, that same sin going unchecked and ignored. Sin going without being confessed and forgiven. Sin becoming something we think is no big deal or become comfortable with in some area of our life, where we start to want the things of this world more than we want the things God has promised to us and gives to us. That's when the danger of our hearts hardening towards God comes in. And we can stretch the analogy of the Play-Doh a little bit and say, well, sometimes the Play-Doh begins to like being hard and flaky and dry because it's so much work to be made soft again, so much pressing and stretching and molding and shaping and forming, it's uncomfortable. And so maybe the Play-Doh begins to think it's not worth it. Sometimes do we wonder if it's worth the work of God in our life? The call to confess our sins and repent again. The call to conform ourselves and our lives to the image of Christ. Maybe we wonder what's wrong with being a bit hard and dry and flaky in our hearts anyway. That's what our text calls the deceitfulness of sin. Take care, brothers, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Let sin linger and grow and harden your heart toward God until you find yourself in the same position as that Exodus generation, those who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, those who have known and rejoiced in the work of God for them, yet still becoming those who grumble about God's provision, those who disbelieve his ability to deliver on his promises, and maybe even doubt he has anything to give or promise at all. This text is a helpful reminder that, again, sin comes into our life, but a specific sin here or a specific sin there is not what keeps us from the kingdom of God. Our text at the end, the last sentence, reminds us, verse 19, so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. They disbelieved in God, so they did not receive what he promised. It's not that God wasn't ready to give it, they weren't ready to receive it. They didn't want it, after all. Grumbling against God's word, putting God to the test, rebelling against God in sin are so dangerous precisely because when left unchecked, they can show or even lead to that sort of unbelief. Jesus himself echoes this in John 3 when he says, whoever believes in him, the Son of God, Jesus, is not condemned. And belief is what leads to salvation. But whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son. It's only belief or unbelief that matter. It's only unbelief or belief that gives us our status in or out of the kingdom of God. So what's the answer? What's the antidote? How do we keep from this hardening of heart to happen? Our text points us to the mutual encouragement of fellow Christians and to keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus together. Exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, for we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today. Today is the time. Fix your eyes on Jesus once more. Today is the time to encourage one another in corporate worship, in Bible study together, in solid Christian friendships. It's why they're so vital to the Christian. Because those are times and opportunities we have to exhort and encourage one another in our walk of faith, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to watch out for sin and its deceitfulness. Sometimes we just gather together and we remember we're not in this alone. In this Christian faith. Sometimes we maybe need a specific word from God or a humble word from a brother or a sister to remind us to watch out for some sin or some doubt or some unbelief that may be creeping into our hearts and minds. The company of Christians can do that. Being together with fellow believers can do that. Not because we tell each other, you got to do better, or you better shape up, or, oh, that sin's not so bad. But we can empathize with the struggle sometimes. Maybe not the specific sin, but the struggle with sin. We can give support and encouragement because we know we've been there too. Or we can offer that support and reminder of God's grace, for His forgiveness in Christ, when temptation and sin come lurking back into someone's life. We can encourage one another also to let go of sin and the false promises of this world and cling to Christ and God's Word alone. Again, in this exhortation, we don't want to think that the answer is that I've got to work harder, or I've got to resist sin more, or I've got to do something better. If I'm going to keep this from happening, that's not the antidote at all. Remember how the Play-Doh gets softened again? By adding water. Even just one drop at a time. And what a wonderful picture for us who have come to share in Christ by being washed by water and the Word in your baptism. Play-Doh doesn't somehow get softened and moistened on its own. It really allows that water to be applied and worked into it again. Now, we can't stretch the analogy so far to say we need to be baptized every day or ever again. No, we're baptized once for all, but it does mean that we set our eyes on Jesus and we let God do His baptismal work in our life again, to let His forgiveness and grace come into us, to let us die and rise with Jesus, to live for Him and with Him each and every day, to let God continue to form and mold and shape us, no matter how uncomfortable it is, into the image of Christ, as long as today is called today. Each and every day, God coming into our life to forgive us, to renew us, to restore us, until we come to the eternal day of heaven and God's new creation for us. Now, like the Israelites wandering through the wilderness, there are times it may seem tough to believe God will deliver on His promises. And this world is so full of trial and trouble, heartache and heartbreak, you know much of that in your lives. So we wonder, can God really bring a new, restored creation? Can He really make a world where sin and death and pain and sadness go away? Can He really redeem all things and raise us from the dead? And even when we're ready to believe that, does He really deliver that through His written and spoken word? Does He really deliver it just with some water and some bread and wine? Maybe you consider your own sin and faithlessness. You wonder, is God's promised rest still really for me? Can I enter heaven at all after all that I've done, or as long as I've stayed away from the faith? Are God's promises of grace still for me, or am I too far gone? Well, if you're hearing this today, and you want to believe that, yes, these promises are for you, the good news is that today is today. God's promises are for you each and every day. The good news in Christ, dear friends, is that all of God's promises for you are yes in Jesus. You have come to share in Him by faith and by your baptism into His death and resurrection. Your confidence in Him is for your eternal salvation. Many times we walk through the wilderness or bear the cross. There'll be times of trouble and trial, difficulty and seeming disaster. But in the Scriptures, we see the account of God's faithfulness. We see that His promises are sure and certain, that He's able to deliver on them, and that He will deliver on them. So encourage one another, brothers, to continue firm in faithful worship, devotion, Bible study, prayer. And as Hebrews 12 says, may we every day, today, consider to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured even the cross, despised the shame, and is seated now at the right hand of God. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, He can and will forgive your sins. He can and will soften your heart to him and his word and his work. He can and will raise you from the dead on the last day to be with him forever. His word is sure and certain. You can have confidence in him. In the name of Jesus, amen.